A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. As the visions during the night continued, I saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the ancient one and was presented before him, the one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. Verbum Domini. A reading from the book of Revelation. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, who has made us into a kingdom, priests for his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming amid the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All the peoples of the earth will lament him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Verbum Domini.
Thank you. Lectio Sancti Evangelii Secundum Ioannem. Gloria tibi, Domine. Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Verbum Domini. Before I begin, just to inform you that after the homily today, we will make an act of dedication of the human race to Jesus Christ the King. And I believe you have the prayers in the pews today. Okay. For centuries, the Jews awaited a king. And over the years, the king they anticipated was one they hoped who would bring about domination and force. And that with this king, they would conquer all their physical enemies. That they would be the prized nation of the earth, reigning over the entire world. At the time of Jesus, as we know, Israel, or the nation of Israel, was occupied by the Romans. They had seized the land, conquered it, and controlled it. And so the people, the Hebrew people, wanted to be free from their conquerors. Well, now here is Jesus. And Jesus, who's come into this world, the Son of God, people see him performing miracles. Multiplicating loaves and fishes, calming the sea during violent storms, curing people so that they could hear and walk. And people were marveled at this. And so they thought that Jesus would be the king. Here he is. Here's the Messiah. But the kingship of Jesus is different. Yes, he came here to conquer enemies, but not in the way of world where it's evil for evil, not a way of vengeance and revenge, not with the worldly tactics of military force. He comes to establish his kingdom with his truth, a truth that comes from his love, and a truth that ultimately, a love that gives us peace, interior peace. And from this interior peace, there should be peace that reigns in the world. And when we look at the way the governments or the kingdoms of the world are all established, it is fixed often on power and gaining more power and dominating. And, you know, only a select few are permitted to have this power. Some are born into it. Some are elected to it. And with those in power and authority in the world, they're unreachable. You can't just go to them. Jesus generously and graciously is with all of us. And not only that, he shares his power with us. There is no distance. He is right here with us and within us. Jesus, when he was with his disciples, he comes about proclaiming the kingdom of God. No, preaching truth, preaching love, showing mercy. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. Jesus is everything the kingdom is. And as Jesus is doing this, you know, of course, people are starting to believe, but okay, well, here, maybe this could be the king. The disciples themselves, they don't fully understand what this kingship is all about. Jesus says that he was sent by the Father and that he will send them with his own power. But they haven't figured out what that power is. Jesus, at the same time, you know, at the Last Supper, he now calls them friends. And in the world at that time, to be called friends of a king meant that you knew the king personally, that you were trusted by the king to listen to him and to even advise him. No, but that you can receive right from the king. There was no, like, really hierarchical thing, you know. In those days, you had your different membership in the kingdom, servants and, you know, lords and generals and all of this, you know. But Jesus is saying, you're my friends. That means that there is a close friendship here, relationship. And so here the apostles are thinking that. Okay, you know, now, hey, he shares a kingship with me. But what we see from Jesus, especially during his final hours, we see this truth and this love that conquers all evil. We see it revealed most profoundly in perfection. No, and with such purity. Here they place Jesus, you know, before a judgment. He is sentenced to be beaten, to be killed. No, and in this time of sentencing, you know, this governor here, Pilate, he's a little bewildered, confused. He says, what, you call yourself a king? And he doesn't know what to believe. And, you know, Jesus' kingship is all about truth and love. You know, Pilate, the procurator, he only knows kingship by force and power. So he's a little confused here. See, but then Jesus, he's handed over, he's sentenced, he's put on the cross. And right there, here is the King of the universe. He has all power. As he said, he can call down legions of angels. But the first words out of his mouth are words of mercy, words of deliverance from the hands of the enemy. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Words that hurt the ears of the devil. He wants us to be consumed in hate. He wants us to fight with one another. He wants us to conquer one another. That's what his kingdom is all about. Hate and violence and injustice. But Jesus on the cross, he's nailed to it. And there's just the purest words of love. There we see true character. There we see Jesus who's suffering excruciating, exquisite pain, interiorly, exteriorly, and out comes from him is only love, truth. And so much love that there, Jesus, he passes and he comes back to us, the glory of his love, showing us that the world and hate and sin and evil and wickedness can be defeated by truth and by his love. And we live in this world here, that is at enmity with us. It wants to take us by force. The devil, is out to conquer us. He doesn't always do this very forcefully. He does it very seductively. He comes and tries to lure us into sin or sweet talk us into it. But Jesus who is here, who conquered the world with his love and truth, shares this kingship with us. Jesus gives us everything he has. It is a true gift from his grace, the free gift. Jesus, who reigns over all, the King of the universe, gives us his kingly power. And when do we receive this power? We receive it when we are baptized. We are anointed to share in the priestly, prophetic, and kingly office of Jesus. And these graces come at the baptism. They're strengthened in confirmation and enlivened with us when we receive the Holy Eucharist. So here we are, this great King of the universe who calls us his friends, who loves and shares with us how to dominate this world of evil by giving us the grace of his priestly, prophetic, and kingly office. While as priests, we who are baptized come into the universal priesthood of Christ. That means that we have the graces of Jesus to share in his pure sacrifice of giving over ourselves for love of him and love of others, offering ourselves in service for others and for God. And then, this prophetic office is that we are given the word of God so that we can proclaim the word with our mouths, but with our lives. And then this kingly, this royalty we have. Well, what does this mean here? Well, as sharing in the kingly office, the mission of Jesus, as we look at Jesus, and Jesus is perfect. You know, Jesus experiences everything we experience except for sin. So that means that Jesus was tempted in every way we are. No, he was a victim of every wicked and evil thing in the world. But yet, he conquers. And this is what we have here, is that we have the graces to take reign over evil, first to take reign over ourselves. No, to keep ourselves in control, to moderate, to live as God has created us to live, in the right natural order. So this is what we have here, and we need to be mindful of this always, is that we have this grace to reign over ourselves, our own body, to be set free from the slavery of sin and death. And then with these kingly graces come with us, all of us are gifted with intelligence and reason, skills, talents, life. You know, God gives us these kingly graces so that we can be good stewards of what we have, so that in imitation of him, we can use what God has given to us, these gifts, for the building up of his kingdom. You know, that we can in walk in his truth and his charity, that we can make this place a better place of living, that we can do good for all people, that we can build up the human race, build up human dignity with everything that he's given to us. This is really glorifying God, to act and to work in charity and love for the Lord. And then with these kingly graces, remember right in the beginning of creation, so we hear that God gives man the authority over the earth, over the animal kingdom. And, you know, all of us, you know, have this. And so God wants us to take care of the earth and to be kind to animals. Yeah, he's given them to us for food. No. But he wants us to preserve the earth for, of course, ourselves, but for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, all of our ancestry line, to have a clean earth, pollution-free. Now, this is all part of these kingly graces, that we rule ourselves, that we govern our talents according to God's will and the way he has designed us to use these, and that we preserve the earth. See, this is the right order that God has called us to live by. And when we do this, you know, in the truth and love of the Lord, then we have peace, interior peace, harmony. You know, because we are free, because we love God. As you know, that when you sin, there's always a consequence. And one of the worst consequences is hurting other people. But look, think about the misery that comes over you. You know, the pulling away that sin does, and how it corrodes and corrupts our mind and our heart. Well, while the Lord has given us the graces to be set free. Of course, you know, sometimes we need people's help. We need the Lord's help, others people's help. But we can do it. We can live as we are called and designed to live. And Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, demonstrates this for us all. And much more, he gives us his own life and love through the power of his grace. And so, brothers and sisters, be confident in what God has given to you. It is his love, it is his life, but his very power to rule over ourselves and to bring this love and truth to the entire world, to glorify him, so that we can have a peaceful, harmonious life here in this world, but then much more, enjoy the love of the Lord in the next. God bless you all.